My dearly beloved in Christ, today is a great feast, the feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, but it is also called the birthday of the church, because it is the day on which the apostles began to fulfill their mission to teach the faith, and they were baptized on this first day of the life of the church. There were baptized 3,000 souls, and then either the next day or shortly thereafter, the number increased to 5,000, and the church, like the mustard seed of the gospel, spread throughout the world and became a great tree. So the faith spread, but we should ask ourselves today, well, what do we mean by the Catholic Church? What is the church? And the Catechism defines the church as the society of all of those who have been baptized and believe, hold the same doctrines, and attend the same Mass and sacraments, and are united under the same Catholic authority. We are members of that church, and this is a great privilege. We should rejoice in our membership in the Catholic Church. We became members of the church when we were baptized, and we continue members of the church as long as we do not deviate from the teachings of the church or leave that unity. We know we can identify the Church of Christ, the Catechism tells us, by her four marks. She is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And why is it important to identify the Church of Christ? Because there are many churches claiming to be Christian, many different denominations, many groups claiming to follow Christ and to hold to the Bible, and yet they have erroneous, differing opinions and ideas. So we want to follow the one church that Jesus founded, because he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," my church. And notice, singular, not my churches. So he founded one church. And the Catholic Church teaches us that outside that church, founded by Christ, there is no salvation. And that only stands to reason, because would it be logical to think that the Son of God could come into the world and spend 3 years teaching, establishing a church, and then lay down his life, and then return to heaven, and that anybody could come along and take it or leave it? No thanks, I don't think I'll join it. It would be disrespectful, to say the least, to think that we have the option of joining the church that Jesus founded or not. So he founded one church, and we rejoice that we have been given the gift of faith and membership in that church. I mentioned the four marks. We can identify that church by the four marks, but we also can identify it by the historical argument. Which church that claims to be Christian can trace its history all the way back to the 12 apostles and hence to Jesus Christ? Only the Roman Catholic Church. And that is the church we belong to. Now, non-Catholics will denigrate the Catholic Church by recycling stories, reports, historical facts and fiction of bad members of the church. And of course, the Catholic Church, the mystical bride of Christ, the spotless bride of Christ, is holy. So the church herself is without stain. But she is made up of human beings, human members. And sadly, from time to time, those members may give bad example, may even be guilty of scandal. There have been members of the church who left the church, who dishonored the church by their lives. There's no guarantee, just because someone is Catholic, that he's going to become holy, that he's always going to remain Catholic, that he's going to persevere. And oftentimes, non-Catholics who will throw in our face these stories, etc., historical, oftentimes they're based on some truth, but it's very exaggerated, very distorted. But be that as it may, we do not deny that there have been scandals. There have been bishops and priests who have dishonored their state. There have been lay people who have been a bad example. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. He was an ordained priest. And there were many other priests and bishops and lay people over the centuries who fell away from the faith, who gave bad example, who brought discredit upon the church. But that does not in any way soil the church herself. The church, again, is the spotless bride of Christ. It is to their shame and dishonor. And sadly, they sometimes mislead others. So this is not for us some kind of a embarrassment in the sense that we're afraid to talk about. The true history, when you really study the true facts of history, there have been unworthy members of the church. It reminds me of the symbol that our Lord used in one of his parables when he said that his church is like a net cast into the sea, and it gathers together all kinds of fish. And the fishermen, when they bring the net to the shore, they sort the fish, they throw away the bad, and they keep the good. Well, the church has good and bad members, and we ourselves are well aware of our frailty and how many times in our lives we have proved ourselves unworthy. We have maybe dishonored Holy Mother Church. And we repent of that and we strive to amend. But the church herself, again, is the spotless bride of Christ. So we rejoice in our membership in the church. And today, on the birthday of the church, we give thanks to Almighty God for that gift of faith. Now, we live at a time when there's a lot of confusion. For many centuries, the church was centered in Rome. In fact, in that part of Rome called the Vatican, which is a group of buildings where popes have lived through the centuries. But we look at the current occupants of the Vatican, and we look at what they have taught and what they've been promoting the last 50, 60 years, ever since Vatican II, that started actually 60 years ago this year. And we say, well, this is a different religion than the Catholic religion that I was taught in the Baltimore Catechism, that I was brought up in. This is a different religion. And we could cite many different examples. The large number of those who claim to be Catholic, who reject certain doctrines or practice birth control, whatever it may be. And we have now the one who claims to be the Pope, therefore the successor of St. Peter, who has allowed in the Vatican an idol from the Amazon called the Pachamama, and himself participated in idolatrous rites with this idol, who said that it's possible for those who have been divorced and remarried to still receive the sacraments, who condones homosexuality, who in so many ways has contradicted the faith. And we think, well, how can that be? Now, there are some who say, well, I'll just turn a blind eye to that. He's wearing white. He goes by the name Pope Francis, so he must be Pope. And he's there in the Vatican. Well, it's not possession of a building that makes one lawful. It's holding the faith. At the time of St. Athanasius, which was in the 4th century, there were many bishops that fell into the heresy of Arianism. And St. Athanasius suffered a great deal, and he was driven out of his diocese numerous times, spent much of his episcopacy in exile. And he would write letters to his flock, and in one of these famous letters, he said, "They have the buildings, the Arians have the buildings, but you have the faith." So it's not who has the buildings, it's who has the faith. But we, again, are presented with this contradiction, and we love the papacy and the true popes. And we recall the words of Jesus to St. Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So we know we have to be united to Saint Peter. He was Christ's representative on earth. When Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter then was the head of the church on earth. He was Christ's visible representative. Jesus Christ remains the invisible head of the church. And now we are presented with a situation where a man who claims to be Pope is promoting and teaching a different religion. And so we come to the only logical conclusion. He can't be a true Pope. He either lost the papacy, or what is most likely the case, never had it to begin with. He was heretical in his thinking long before he was elected. But there are those who realize that the Novus Ordo is dishonor to God, is not the true Mass, the new sacraments, etc., the new teachings of Vatican II. They reject that. They want the faith from before, but they also look upon Bergoglio and they say, well, I don't like what he's teaching and I don't like it, but he must still be the Pope. And so what they've done to satisfy their conscience is they have developed a new theology. And the new theology is that the lay people and the priests have the right to pick and choose which things these modern popes teach that they'll accept and which things they will reject. And that cannot be found anywhere in 2,000 years of Catholic theology. Lay people, priests, and even bishops have no right to refuse subjection to the Roman pontiff. The only logical conclusion is he's not the Roman pontiff. And we are lovingly and loyally united to the true popes. Someone put it this way very, very well. I am with the 262 popes from St. Peter to Pope Pius XII. And if you're with those, you necessarily reject these last five or six who have contradicted everything that those true popes have taught. But if you're with these modern popes, by that very fact, you are rejecting Pope St. Pius X, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius XII, Pope St. Pius V, and St. Peter and the whole group, because they are diametrically opposed. I mentioned Francis, so-called Pope Francis, about the Pachamama. He also came out with a statement that God wills the diversity of religions when he was meeting with the Muslims. God wills the diversity. And that brings out that ecumenism, which is really a mark of this new church, and indifferentism, that all religions should just get together and ignore their differences and just be one big happy family. Another thing that's interesting is last Sunday, he, the so-called Pope Francis, appointed 21 new cardinals. And of that number, only one was an American. Now, which American bishop do you think he would choose for the honor of being a cardinal? Might it be the Archbishop, the Vatican II Archbishop of San Francisco, who wrote a letter to Nancy Pelosi and said, because of your promotion of abortion, you may not receive communion in my diocese? You think that bishop, who had at least the backbone to stand up for life, that he would be given this honor? Of course not. It goes to the Bishop of San Diego, who said, oh, Nancy Pelosi can come to me for Holy Communion, and in my diocese, I won't refuse communion to these politicians who promote abortion. He's the one that gets made a cardinal. And that of itself should tell you who Pope Francis is, what he thinks, what he represents. It is a new religion, and it is not the same as the religion founded by Jesus Christ and represented by St. Peter and all of the true popes, up to and including Pope Pius XII of blessed memory, who died in 1958. So we love the papacy. We are loyal to the papacy, to all the things the true popes have taught. And we long for the day when there will again be a true pope. I pray for it every day. Let us give thanks to Almighty God for our faith, that we are members of the church that Jesus Christ founded, which today began to grow and to spread throughout the world. May we always persevere as Catholics in that church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.